We are going to continue today our study that we've been doing on how to build a family. How to build a family. You know, a lot of times we are involved with so many different things in life that we take for granted some of the most basic things, especially the first institution that God ordained in the Garden of Eden was with Adam and Eve when He made the first family. And we just think it's automatic because we can procreate that we think we can have a family, a good family. But that isn't really how it works, is it? Now, we've looked at a couple different topics on how to build a family. We start off with the foundation. Any of you that's been around construction know how important it is to have a good foundation. We looked at the difference between building a house on the rock and building a house on the sand. And then last week, we looked at it from a little different angle on how to do some different things. And today, we're going to look at it just from a little different aspect on how we want to approach this topic. And I encourage you, you can go to our website, rlfwc.com, to be able to download the sermons, to be able to stay connected and find out what's going on in the church, as well as our Facebook page. Now, for today, this is the third installment of How to Build a Family. I don't know about you, but some things bug me. You know, have you ever noticed a picture hanging on the wall that was really crooked? I don't know. Anybody ever watch Monk? Remember that old show, Monk? You know, little things like, I'm not that bad. You know, but I mean, stuff like that, when it's a little, you know, out of whack, it kind of bugs you. You know, it was probably level at one time. But what happened is that something come along and it jarred it out of place. And I think sometimes for you and I, life can be a little bit like that. We're going along, then all of a sudden something comes into our life and it jars us. And it knocks us a little bit out of place or where we need to be. Now, to fix things, it takes the right kind of tools. Tools are important. You know, it takes level-headed thinking to get back on track, and I think God's Word will show us how to do that. So let's open our Bibles today to Isaiah chapter 28, and we'll look at verse 16 and 17, and we're showing that scripture up on the screen today. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the secret place." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us today to come in to this place of worship, to be able to honor you with our lives and with our time. And Lord, right now I thank you for the gift that you put inside of me, Lord. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the Word out of our lives in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as I mentioned, we looked at the aspect of, you know, foundational things and, you know, all the different things that we're looking at. But today I want to look at a subject that is kind of in the old days, but still we notice them today. And we're going to talk about a cornerstone. Now, for us in our buildings, most of us build with wood, and we don't use, you know, stone when we build our homes. But have you ever noticed up at the post office, that stone in the corner? Now, that's really a ceremonial stone, but that's the cornerstone. Now, when the old people in the ancient days used to build masonry buildings, because that's what most of them were built, like the temple and, you know, the houses that the different kings and leaders lived in, that the first stone that they would set would be a cornerstone. And how important that stone was, because all other stones in that building were set based on that point of reference, on how important that cornerstone was. So when you pick a cornerstone, you don't pick an out-of-balance one or something that's really crooked. You pick something that's very square and something that's going to be easy to measure from. So it's a point of reference, and they would also level from this stone. What they would do is they would stretch a string from both ways from the cornerstone, and we're going to look at that here in a minute, on from that is how they would line up their structure. And it's important that when we line up our lives, we have a cornerstone in our life, something that's very important. Now, we all know that Jesus is our foundation. We looked at that. And last week we noticed how important it was to build your house that's strong. You know, we looked at the three little pigs a little bit there at the end, right? The one who built it with straw and one who built it with sticks. Only the one that was built with rock or stone is the one that could handle the big bad wolf. And we know who the big bad wolf is, right? And that's the devil. How he comes into our lives to steal, kill, and destroy. And every one of us is attacked from time to time. We may go along really good for a while, but then all of a sudden, it just seems like out of nowhere, these attacks come. And that's what tries to jar us a little bit, and we need to be ready for them. Now, if you tried to build a structure, especially a stone structure, and you didn't have a cornerstone, it would be a real disaster because a lot of bad things would happen. Now, the cornerstone was so important because it was what everybody who was building would measure off of. Now, if you never had a cornerstone, have you ever noticed that not everybody sees things the same? Maybe you live with somebody like that, that doesn't look at life the same way that you do. And so their approach at life and how they do things is different. And you guys will never be on the same page until you find a cornerstone in your life and in your relationship. Something that is a point of reference for you to live your lives by and how important that is. Now maybe you've heard the story, you know, some people are half a bubble out of plumb. You ever heard that one? Or maybe a couple bricks short of a load. How about two dishes short of a full set? And lastly, you know, the lights are on and nobody's home, right? You know, it's like that sometimes. If we're not on the same page. You know, I've been married 30 years. And sometimes my wife surprises me. I thought we had an understanding. I know I surprise her all the time, you know. Because I thought we were on the same page on something, but then we're not. Because maybe we didn't communicate properly or things like that. But that's really a different story in itself. Now, different builders have to be working from that same point of reference. And if they don't have that, it's going to be, like I said, a disaster. Now, some of you may have been around construction. It's easy for me. I've noticed all these things in operation. Like if the bricklayers are building a wall now, you got your two best bricklayers on the corners, or maybe the same guy does both ends because they, you know, do it similar. And once you get your corners built up a while, you would stitch a little string on each joint going across, and then a flunky could go over there. Somebody's just learning how to lay brick, and all they got to do is follow that line. It's pretty self-explanatory. You put a little mortar down, you set that brick, you tap it, and if as long as it's lined up and you got your string on this end, your string on that end, on the top of that course of brick, all you have to do is keep filling in. But see, you have that great start. Everybody's on the same page. And see, what's the matter today is a lot of families are not on the same page. And that's why families are being destroyed. And many things are happening in our culture that is very dangerous, and we need to try to get that back. So to be able to build properly, you need some tools of the trade. You need some tools of the trade. Just so happens I have a few here today. You know, most of us are used to one of these. I inherited this, or somebody gave it to me. You can tell it's not state-of-the-art. But I, as an electrician, I don't need a level very much, you know. So, but this is a level. And a level does a couple different things. Now, a level, of course, you're in the lines. Now, this in here has arrows drawn on it because evidently if you put it on this side, it's not level. So I don't know how that all works. I guess it got dropped or jarred. But this is level. This is plumb. Remember that. Level, plumb. When you're half a bubble out of plumb, that means you're a little out of kelter. See? Now, that's important. Now, truth be known, this wasn't created till the 1600s. The kind of spirit levels that we use today was never created till the 1600s. So what did the early builders use? I'm glad you asked that question, because this was a primary tool of the builders. Now, fortunately, this doesn't have chalk on. I'm glad about that. Amen. I'm borrowing this from my brother-in-law, Brian. Now, this is a plumb bob. See how that hangs down straight? Now, it's moving a little bit, but if you really want to know what's plumb straight up and down, you line up with a plumb bob. That's very important. Now, the ancient Egyptians, they built something with this to make a level, but I won't go into that today because it's a little long and tedious. But I encourage you to look that up if you're interested. It's kind of cool. But anyway, so a string and a level. Remember the scripture in Isaiah, what it talked about is how important it is to be able to, you know, line up with justice and righteousness, and how we're supposed to be level and plumb and straight as a string. And we're going to look at that today. So if you're going to build your family, which many of you are, I believe the best reference point is Jesus Christ. Now, just so happens, the Bible calls him the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. Truth be known, in the New Testament, it says many builders, meaning the religious Pharisees, they rejected the cornerstone. And that's what religion does. Religion has a bunch of rules and regulations and a bunch of things that don't really amount to anything that puts people in bondage. But when we build our life on the cornerstone, you know, everything goes a lot better. Now, if we're going to build a family, then we need to use Jesus Christ as our cornerstone and how important that is. And we need to line up with His Word and not make the Word line up with us by what we think. And that's what's happening in our culture today. People need to read the whole Bible. I stress that. I can't do that enough. I mean, I've read through the Bible every year since 1985. I don't know the whole Bible, but what it's done, it's given me a working knowledge of how to understand how things fit together in God's Word. A lot of people, as I mentioned, approach the Bible like a buffet. I know we went to a buffet the other night. I didn't eat everything on that buffet, praise God. I just picked a few things that I like. You know, some of that stuff, I don't even know why they put it out there. I mean, who likes that stuff? But see, that's how some people approach the Word of God. They only pick the parts they like. And when they only pick the parts they like, they miss out on the whole counsel of God. And that's what gets us in trouble. That's why our country is having some of the problems that it's having, is because they've left the whole counsel of God and they've just picked the scripture, God is love. Whoa, yes, amen. I know God is love. But I've seen God in the Bible straighten some people out too. Amen? You know, if you get a little away from where He wants you, that protection, talk to the children of Israel that were taken into bondage to Babylon. For 70 years, God let His chosen people be taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and the kings there, and they hauled them away to another country, and they stayed, shall we say, in bondage until it was prophesied the time of their release. Why? Because they walked away from God's plumb bob and God's string. They left His commandments, and they walked and they got in trouble with God. Now, God didn't destroy them, but He left them to their own desires. Now, justice is a measuring line, and that's what the Scripture says in Isaiah. Now, justice is the rule that should guide, and I don't know about you, but we all need guidance. Anybody that says they don't need any guidance from anybody is a fool. They think they know it all, but they really know nothing, right? You know, the sign of wisdom is knowing that, hey, I need help. As I mentioned, I've read through the Bible every year since 1985, but I would never tell anybody I know everything the Bible says. Because the Bible, what it is, it's what's interesting about God's Word is that God helps us to grow based on where we're at right now. And I explain this like going to school. We've got a few school teachers in the audience today. When you expose a first grader to some sort of math problems, you know, they could say, man, I got this math figured out, man. You know, this 1 + 1 stuff, man, that's a piece of cake. Well, then when they get to middle school and they start throwing them stupid letters in there, I don't believe letters and numbers should ever mingle together. You know, I lost my interest in mathematics when I was exposed to algebra. You know, that just doesn't make any sense to me. And I really don't want it to. You know, the only formulas I need is, you know, like I've kidded around one time, is that fact that, you know, you got a rectangular pizza back when they sold those, and you got a round pizza, so I'd do some math and try to figure out which one's the best deal. Amen? That's the only time I needed math. Now, there's more to it than that. But, you know, there's just some things that, you know, that as we grow, the Bible starts to reveal itself. So when you're just a baby Christian and the things that God reveals to you and you see a scripture, well then 10 years from now, if you keep growing, when you see that same scripture, God's going to reveal something a little deeper to you. And that's the benefit of this. I'm faced with trying to deal with people here today that some may not even be saved. Some may have been saved 30, 40 years, and you're at different places in your walk with God, and yet I'm supposed to feed all of you? I can't. But I know who can. See, I'm not in this alone. See, the Holy Spirit is here today. He's the Spirit of truth, and He's the one who is bringing revelation knowledge to each and every one of us wherever we're at in our walk with God. And I thank God for that kind of help. Because I need that kind of help in my life. So justice, as we look at it, nobody likes that word, you know. But it's not always fair in our eyes. But it's always right. It's always right. Justice may not seem like it's fair sometimes, but it's always right. Now, I need a couple assistance at this time of how we're going to measure this up on my cornerstone. Now, if I could have maybe John the usher. Now, you can tell this is my string. I don't have the fancy stuff. You know, as an electrician, I just take a, you know, a little tube and whatever it came on, I roll my string up. Okay, now I can maybe have Jeff on the other side here. And I will need Mr. Terrell to come up too. Okay, Jeff, you walk over that way. Now, John, you walk out and make her tight. Okay, both of you make her tight. Now, if we were going to build something here, why don't you stand behind the string here, Michael? Okay, this is the corner. This is our cornerstone that we're going to reference. Now, Jeff's a little half a bubble out of plumb. You know why? Because that string doesn't line up with this corner. Jeff, if you could go that way. Right there. John, you got her pretty good. All right. So Mike, hold your finger right there. Now, that, if we were going to build a stone building, you could actually make a pretty square building using this modern technology of a string. That's all you need, is a good string and a good cornerstone. And when you build your family, that's what you need. Now, the string, the measuring line that we're going to use is God's Word. Now, I know I always favor the north side for whatever reason. Like I said, the church leans that way. But for today, I guess we still got to do that because Jeff's over there. Yeah. You guys are in the building. You guys are out of the building, okay? These guys are in the building because that's where the building's going to be. And this is the two corners. And once you get to that corner, then you can maybe measure. And there's different formulas you can use to make sure the building's square to find that point over there. But I'm not going to share that with you today. So as you're doing that, we got this string. Now, I'm out of the building and that just ain't fair. Because God is love. So you know what I do? I bend the string. So I'm in the building now. But think about it. What did we talk about when we started this series? About a foundation. See, there's a foundation that's already been laid underground. And if you don't build on that foundation, your wall will never stand. So if I build this wall out here, down below me is no protection. There's no foundation down there. No concrete. Nothing solid to build on. Out here is this shifting sand. So when I build this structure and I just do it my way, this thing will look pretty for maybe a year or so, but after that, it's going to fall apart. Because there's no foundation. Now, if I'm back over here, it doesn't really matter because I'm right down below me is solid. This building's not going anywhere. And that's why the cornerstone and the foundation need to line up and how important that is. But a lot of times, people try to stretch the string. They try to stretch God's Word to make it say whatever they want, and then they're in trouble. And that's why we need to get back to the basics. Now, you say, Pastor Brad. All right, thanks, guys. You want to roll that up, Jeff? Thanks. What's a good string to go by for my family? Well, we're a New Testament church, right? But I think for starting out, if you guys were going to make a string line for your family to live within, the Ten Commandments wouldn't be that bad of an idea. That's Old Testament. But you can't go wrong not taking the Lord's name in vain, or to go out and try to steal somebody else's wife, or to go take somebody else's stuff. You know, if you use just certain things and principles, and that would just be a starting spot. And then you can, you know, get more as you learn from God's word of what he wants. You know, some of them are kind of tough. You know, it tells children to obey their parents. Every parent say, amen. That's in the Bible. I read it. Praise God. But then, the part that I don't go down, you know, at a buffet, I don't really read this one. It says, fathers, don't exasperate your children to wrath. Meaning we're not supposed to stir them up and turn them off. You know what I mean? You know, come down on them maybe too hard and things like that. So there's a lot in the Bible. We need to get to the place where we understand it. So as we know that Jesus, you know, as we understand it, is our cornerstone, the scripture says. Jesus is our foundation. So what is it that we need to do? I don't know about you, but I'm starting to see a pattern. And that pattern's been in scripture all along. How important is it for you and I to answer the Jesus question and get it right? I think that's one of those questions we take for granted all the time. I've known about Jesus ever since I can remember. I can't remember a time I didn't know about Jesus. I've heard about him. But I do remember a time when I didn't understand what it was all about and what it meant to be a Christian on how it means to get that right. You know, how important is it for us to have a personal relationship? That was a revelation for me. To understand that Jesus cared enough. See, I kind of looked at God as being some sort of a, you know, tough guy that used to whack you over the head when you did something wrong. And then when I started to get into a good church and went and bought a Bible for myself and started to read the Bible, you understood that, you know, God was really a pretty nice guy. That he loved me so much that he gave his only son to die in my place as a substitute. You know, as a parent, think about that. Would you give your child up and have him killed just to save somebody you don't even know? God did. That's how much God loved us. On how much he loves us and what that personal relationship means and what it means to me. Now, also it talks about, you know, righteousness being our level, but the scripture really is talking about a plumb bob. So we noticed how a string could kind of keep us in line. Well, a plumb bob's how we measure things too. You know, now we're not supposed to go around and say, I don't think so. Nope, not you. No, we don't go around trying to measure everybody up. That's not our job, is it? No. That's being judgmental. Now, we are called to judge. You know, if there's somebody in the neighborhood selling drugs, you know, and out of their house, I wouldn't let my kid play in their yard. Oh, you're judging them. Yes, I am. I don't want my kids down there exposed where somebody could show up with guns and get my kids hurt. Yeah, we do make judgments, but we're not supposed to take God's job where we judge people about heaven and hell. So a plumb bob is very important in how we do it. Now, it talks about righteousness being that plumb bob. Now, it was good for me when I was putting this together, I looked at righteousness from a different angle. And I found this is found in Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible. It says what righteousness is. It says it's conformity to a certain set of expectations which vary from role to role. Now, how I explain that a little bit is that if you got a first grader and you got a seventh grader, I expect more out of the seventh grader. I may get more out of the first grader. You know, that seventh grade is about when things fall apart, isn't it, parents? You know, that's when, you know, things start getting unraveled, you know, kids' ideas and attitudes. But anyway, so righteousness varies from role to role, meaning we need to have fulfilled expectations between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between employer and employee and rulers and citizens and all these things, how we define those relationships and those roles. Each of them has to fulfill the role. You know, a parent has to be a parent. Like I said last week, I believe, those who are responsible need to take responsibility. And the problem is a lot of people aren't taking that responsibility. You know, when parents want to be a friend instead of a parent, that's when things are going to start to get real tough later on in life because things ain't going to work out. Now, every society has a certain set of expectation and rules that it lives by. You know, how our culture operates now is different than when I was a child. You know, it's changed. Some may say our culture has evolved. I would say our culture has devolved. I don't know if that's a word or not, but it is to me. That means we went backwards in some things. And we've kind of lost touch with reality. You know, when we kicked the Ten Commandments, you know, out of school and different things. You know, as I've always said, when people stop fearing God is when things start to really get in trouble. Now, when I say fear God, you're supposed to honor and respect. You know, I'm not afraid of God anymore because I know He loves me. But I fear Him in the sense that I know His role and my role are different. Amen? You know, a lot of people think they're gods. Satan thought that, and he got booted out of heaven, didn't he? He thought he was equal with God. I am not equal with God. I follow Him. He gives me direction. He gives me guidance. I honor Him, and I reverence Him, and respect Him. Give my life to Him. And that's why it's important. And every society needs to find that. And different societies do it different. And that's why we need to get it important. Now, remember the picture of building the wall. We had the string line laid out. Now, if you were building the wall, a lot of times, if you're not a very good bricklayer, that wall can get to leaning. That's why if you go to the top of a wall and hang this down, and it hits the same point at both places, that wall is plumb. Now, what happens if you start to build a wall and you're starting to lean out a little bit? Well, you know, that ain't going to hurt nothing, really, is it? If you're building a 4-foot wall. But if you're building a 20-foot wall, and it depends how big a wall you want to build, how great do you want your family to be? Now, if you build a short wall, no big deal, but if you're building a tall wall, a quarter inch in 5 feet, as you keep going up, you're going to get really out of whack. And what can happen then is that wall can fall down when we lose our plumb line, when things don't line up with God's word anymore, when we start to factor in our own ideas and things that we think it ought to be, when, you know, human nature gets in there and it takes away, you know, from what God's role needs to be. So as we need to know is that I believe parents and children have to have their roles defined. And I believe the best way is through God's Word. And as I mentioned, parents need to be parents and kids need to be kids. And we have a problem in the sense that we have parents who don't want to grow up and we have kids who are trying to grow up too fast. And when that happens, neither are assuming their proper role in society. Because we've got a lot of parents who just want to go out and play. They want to partay. They want to go out and do all these fun things and not take responsibility like they're supposed to. And then we got a lot of kids who maybe are 12 years old, think they're going on 25. You know, they're online, they're involved in things they shouldn't be involved in, that their little hearts and their little minds aren't ready for. Relationships and things like this. And then when all this stuff happens, things really, because then hurt feelings happen. That's when we get wounded. And the worst thing you can do is go through life with a wounded heart or a wounded spirit. Because then pain and suffering just comes in your life. It's like a magnet. You draw it to you. So that's why we need to have these defined roles. When you build your family, parents, you need to sit down and have a conversation, a quality conversation on how you're going to lead your family. What is important to you? Is it important that you have you and your family in church so that you can sit under the counsel and the wisdom of God and to be able to use that as your measuring line and your plumb bob in life? Is it important that you keep your family free from harm in the sense of maybe not letting them participate? Hey, all my friends are doing it. Yeah, but all your friends are going to hell. You know what I'm saying? Come, no, not that bad, but you know what I mean. You can be blunt. You want to go to hell with them? Yeah, I want to go with my friends. Read Luke chapter 16. The guy that went to hell doesn't want his friends to come there because it's so bad. Amen? So them old heavy stoners or rock and rollers that say, I'm going to go to hell because that's where all my friends are. If you really like your friends, you don't want them to come there. It's not a good place. All right, how do we apply this? Number one, Decide to change to the Word and make it your reference point. Don't use psychology or philosophy. You know, when I was just getting saved, I think Dr. Spock was out. I prefer Spock the Vulcan over Dr. Spock. Amen? He's more logical. But anyway, the idea of being able to where you get your guidance and counsel from. So not philosophy or psychology. Number two, seek. Seek counsel if you need help. Ask a seasoned parent, somebody that you see and you observe that is successful in raising their family. See, we've went away from that. Where, you know, the mentoring idea of where older people maybe mentor the younger families. You know, maybe come see the pastor and get some ideas there. You know, to get help. And lastly, lead. Lead by example of the Word in our life and not just beat our kids over the head with the Bible. Amen? I think that's important. You know, the do as I say, not as I do philosophy doesn't really work. You know, because we need to be leading. You know, God's grace is there. We can do it, people. You know, God's with us. You know, we're not alone in this endeavor. We need to band our faith and our hearts and our desires together that we want to live a life to bring glory to God. And as we do that, we're going to take back our nation and take back our culture. That's why we do what we do here at this church. We're trying to change the next generation. We're trying to give kids a positive influence here at church. That they find out how important it is to have a relationship with God. That's probably why that level's a little knocked out. But, you know, that's important that we do that. Yeah, it's going to take work. Yeah, you may not win any popularity contests all the time. But how many know, a long time ago, I finally figured out. Now, maybe you haven't figured this out yet, but I figured this out. I'm never going to win ever popularity contest. And that set me free. I don't have to worry about that anymore because I just want to live a life to bring glory to Jesus. Amen? Let's pray.